Welcome to the From the Field broadcast. It is my hope and prayer that God will use this message to touch your heart. Thank you for listening. May God bless.
For this chapter deals a lot with correction. It deals a lot with patience and with waiting on God, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible goes on and says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. When persecution comes, when attacks come, when verbal attacks come against us, it is easy for our minds to get off of Jesus Christ and focus upon ourselves. And when we're focused upon ourselves, we begin to wrongly perceive what God is doing and misunderstand the wonderful grace of God. The Bible says another looking in verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now then, we know that the grace of God never fails us. Amen. But we can fail the grace of God. Now the grace of God has been tried to have been explained by men throughout the ages as God's riches at Christ's expense, unexplainable happenings. But the grace, favor from God toward man, oftentimes this grace comes in forms that we misunderstand. We do not comprehend, and thus can get in such a shape, can faint in our minds, can get in such a way. So let me say tonight, let's look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And let's consider Him who for joy, when we see the cross, when we see Christ embracing His cross, it wasn't that He was saddened. It wasn't that He was not wanting to go, but with willingness and in great strides, embraced the cross. Those women that was following Jesus when they was weeping, those daughters of Jerusalem, they was weeping profusely and profoundly, and they're saddened because Jesus is suffering. They're sad because Jesus has been beaten beyond recognition. They're sad because His body has been stripped and there's stripes and there's blood. And all this, and His beard's been plucked, the crown of thorns has been shoved on His brow, and they're crying because of His pain and His suffering. And Jesus stops and looks to those women, those daughters of Jerusalem, and He says, weep. He says, don't weep for me. He said, but weep for yourselves and for your children. In other words, He's saying to them, don't weep because I'm suffering. I've embraced the cross. It's a joy to be obedient, to receive the plan and will of the Father and walk in the light of that will and say yes to God and embrace the cross. Amen. And so now when these things come to us, how easy it is to look upon ourselves and say, woe is me. Look at what's happened to me. And we'll get twisted up in the middle. The enemy had attacked, had tried to deface the field, in essence to mar the image of the owner of the field. And we're just there in the middle. What can we do? We can grow in the sunshine. We can bear fruit. And we can just enjoy the joy of the ride. If we know some truths about God and what He's offering and what He's doing. The Bible says in that same verse 15, lest any root of bitterness springing up
trouble you, thereby many be defiled. It's amazing, this root of bitterness. He goes on and says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears.
What an amazing comparison here. Their misunderstanding of God's wonderful grace, even in His discipline, even in His correction, even in the persecution, even in the cruel words of the family members, even in the difficulty of the current day where they was facing, He said, don't let bitterness take root in you. For from that bitter root, you're always going to have bitter fruit.
Right.
Look at the fruit that this root produces. It says that many will be defiled. And it says, lest there be any fornicator. Fornication is fruit of the root of bitterness.
Yes.
And it goes on and says, or profane person. Now all of a sudden, they started out with a little bitterness. Now they're cursing and they're profane, their speech,
right,
their profanity. Goes on and says, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. This amazing concept here. What started out as a little itty bitty teeny seed of bitterness, either toward one another or toward God, grows and produces fruit of fornication, pornography, all sorts of vile things, where many has been defiled.
Yes, sir.
And then he goes from that same root of bitterness, profane people. From that same root of bitterness, it uses the example of Esau. What an amazing thing is, we look at Esau, we know now he is the brother of Jacob. Both are sons of Isaac. Esau was one when he was out in the field hunting and spent days in the field. He come back faint and thirsty and hungry. And there Jacob is, has that fire boiling. Over that fire is some pottage, and the smell is savory. And Esau says, give me a bowl of that pottage. Jacob, in his cunningness and his craftiness, deceptiveness, he says, sell me your birthright. And without hesitation, without even considering, he says, pass me the bowl of pottage. What is it? This is profound. This is the birthright was the rightful recipient to the inheritance of the father. Isaac's livestock, the camels, the dromedaries, and all those animals that he had, the sheep and the goats and the asses, all these things was rightfully part to Esau for him being the firstborn. It was his birthright. It was something that would have continued blessing him all the days of his life. It was something that was going to continue to his children, to his grandchildren, long after he's gone, keep on producing all the way down through. And in one moment, in one instant, Esau sells something of eternal value for a temporary desire.
Yeah.
That's amazing to me. One instance, he sells something of eternal value for a quick temporal satisfaction, which truly did not satisfy For he was hungry by nightfall. For he was hungry the next day. He was hungry the next week. All because
the book of Hebrews, these people had bitterness rooting up in their heart. That's a serious thing. Bitterness. Bitter. I believe with all my heart, I was sitting in my hammock back this summer. And there in the little village where God had led us to live and preach the gospel. I was laying there one night, and this is real as I'm sitting here, I was reading and meditating, and the Lord brought to my heart this thought. I believe 90% of church trouble is either because people don't know God, or those that do know God misunderstand God and what He's doing.
Amen.
When we misunderstand God and His correction and discipline to us, when we misunderstand God and the current events, the current happenings, we misunderstand God and what's going on in our current life, we're quick to respond with bitterness.
Yes.
Toward one another, bitterness toward God. And from that springs up, grows up, fornication, profanity, and then the mentality of Esau. You know, God allows us to participate in eternal workings here on this planet. One of them is prayer. We can pray, and even after we're gone, in the book of Revelation, it says that those vials was going up before God as an offering, as incense before the throne of God. The prayers of saints going up before God continually. Going up. My mamma was a prayer warrior. She prayed for me day in, day out. I come in off the road exhausted. I remember coming in mama's house many times and she'd be over sitting in that wingback blue chair and I'd go over and lay on her lap and she'd put her hand on me. And within a few moments, we'd both be in His presence. She walked with God. Those prayers she prayed, continually going up. It's of eternal value. Reading the Word of God, this book is eternal.
Amen.
When we read this book, we're participating in something of eternal value. What's amazing to me is this. How many things, how much stuff is in our life. How much junk is in our life. Oftentimes based on the simple little lie of the devil. And that produces that bitterness. These are Hebrew believers. How do they go from a place of worship to worshiping God in spirit and truth to where they're thinking about walking away from the faith, selling out something for a temporal satisfaction?
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning into our broadcast today. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 43, Hayesville, North Carolina, 28904. Thank you for making our ministry a matter of continued prayer.
Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know.